how we move along here. Are we gonna be good to go?
Good to go.
Okay. Good morning. Welcome everybody to our biblical counseling class. Today is March 22nd, 2026, just for the recording. And I actually did a little boo-boo. I had all these different things I was printing out, and I forgot to print out the class outline notes for you guys for today. However, I do want you to go to your phone right now, if you can, except there, and go to crosslifecc.com, and let's see here. Yeah, go to crosslifecc.com, scroll down, and go down to the announcement. It says coming up at CrossLife. You should see our counseling class right there. Tap on the Learn More, and that's going to be our page here. It's basically crosslifecc.com/biblical counseling if you want to go directly. But you'll see the notes for week one. Do you guys see the notes? There's a PDF link. Let me make sure everybody has it. Does everybody see it?
Yes.
Everybody got it? What's that? I don't know if it's better if you turn it horizontal. I'm not sure, but you guys see it?
Yes.
Okay, the audio, notes and audio will be up here every single week after the class. Well, the notes will be up before the class. Audio will be obviously after the class. So just take a look at the, I didn't put up the syllabus. Okay, that's my fault. Yeah, all right. I see. Okay, so you can see the 10 weeks there of what we're covering. I may go a few extra sessions, possibly during the weeknights on Zoom, just to add a few more classes, but I just don't have enough time to do 10 weeks until we head for Japan. So week 10 ends a few days before we leave for Japan, and I don't want to take a break for a month and then restart and continue. So I'm trying to finish up before we leave for Japan. So today, if you guys can go to the class website here, Saturday sometime, print out the notes. If you need the notes, print it out and just bring them. I'm not gonna print anything. So everything will be at the website. If you wanna print it out, bring it on Sunday morning and it'll be there, the notes, okay? So, that's what we're going to be covering today. I was going to print out the notes for you this morning and then have you guys print out the rest of the 9 weeks, but I forgot. So I'm sorry about that. You can see the class, what we're going to be covering here also on the page there for the 10 weeks. But once again, I do want to welcome you to our class on biblical counseling. It's called the Heart, Help, and Hope of Biblical Counseling. This has been an area of serious study and passion for me personally. Me personally and pastorally, I've tried to practice these principles in my own life, relationships, and in counsel to those in the church for over 20 years. And my aim in this class is actually to show you the need for all believers to be engaging in the practice of biblical counsel. Okay, that's my ultimate aim, is that we would develop a culture in which we are actually learning to speak the truth in love with one another, more and more, in a very personal, engaging way, okay? I think we wanna be the kind of people who understand what it means to use God's sufficient wisdom in the way we speak and encourage and exhort and counsel people. And so, before I move on and say much more, I do wanna say that I think that this is probably one of the most important classes that we will ever offer, that I will ever teach. I think just because of the practical nature of what we're doing and what we're learning for the life of the Christian and the life of the church, and how it truly seeks to honor God's word in a very concrete way, right? And so I just pray that you will see this more and more as we move along in our time together. So let me pray. And then we'll move right in. Heavenly Father, thank you for this beautiful day. This is your day. It's the first day of the week, the day of resurrection, the Lord's day. And we gather as your people to give you praise, to love you with all of our heart, soul, mind, and strength. And we pray, Lord, that for this specific class, that you would give us your your good and sufficient wisdom. Help us, Lord, to understand the beauty of your word, the balm that it is for our souls. And I just pray, Lord, that you would truly cause it to be fruitful and effective in our lives and in the life of our church. And so help me, Father, to communicate what is important. Help me to leave out what is less important. And may this class be a blessing to all those who are here and who are able to listen. So, Lord, thank you. Bless our time together, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Okay, just very quickly, I want to just, this is the actual outline. We'll get this up on the, this is actually on the page, on the website. You can see it on the main page there. So today we're going to go over just core commitments, biblical counseling core commitments. You can't start anything without realizing its foundations. So we have to start with the foundations. And then we're going to move through all these different areas of biblical counseling. So biblical counseling and the glory of God. Biblical, that's going to be the motive for all that we do. Biblical counseling and the sufficiency of Scripture. We'll define very specifically what we mean by that. When we say sufficiency of Scripture, we don't mean it's sufficient for everything. Okay, it's not sufficient to fix a torn ligament. Okay, we'll explain what we mean by the sufficiency of Scripture. Week four, biblical counseling and the heart of man. And then we'll move on to week five to the biblical counseling and the sin of man, biblical counseling and the idols of man, biblical counseling and the emotions of man, understanding emotions in the life of human beings. And week eight, biblical counseling and the dual nature of man. This could be one of the most significant things, is understanding the dual nature of man, because so much of how people understand man today is so Molinist and materialistic in nature, that we are only one nature. We are only biological. And if you don't understand the nature of man, you're going to get all the means and prescriptions, everything else wrong. So we have to understand what man actually is. Okay? We'll talk about body and soul. Week 9, biblical counseling and depression. And then week 10, biblical counseling and the local church. I might interject a few other sessions during the week if we can get some in sometime before the end of the class. So that's kind of the direction we're going. Just a quote from the late David Powelson, who was a well-known biblical counselor. Nothing compares with Scripture for making sense of the trouble and struggles of life. Wise counseling is in the church's DNA. Okay. So that's the outline. It's on the webpage, website there. And this morning, I want to look at core commitments. So again, the notes for the core commitments are right there also on that counseling page. So please just keep an eye on that. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to Ephesians 4. And actually, if I could have a few of you help me read this section. Ephesians 4, starting at verse 11. Ephesians 4, 11. And let me know when you guys get there. Ephesians 4, chapter 11. Just kind of raise your hands when you're there. Just so I can see if you want a few more. Okay. Let's see. Ronald, could you read? I'd like to read 11 to 24. So it's about 15 verses.
Okay.
Could you read 5 and then, Lucky, are you there too?
Yeah.
Okay, then if you read the next 5 and then, anybody that's Myron, are you there? Or
yeah.
You're there? Okay, and then you can read the last 5. So, Ephesians 4:11.
Okay, yeah. Ephesians 4:11. And he gave the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, the shepherds, and teachers to equip the saints for the work of ministry, for the building up the body of Christ, until we all attain to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to mature manhood, to measure the stature of the fullness of Christ, so that we may no longer be children tossed and fro by the waves and carried about by the wind of doctrine, by human cunning, by craftiness and deceitful schemes. Rather, speaking the truth in love, we are to grow up in every way into him who is the head, into Christ.
With which it is equipped, when each part is working properly, makes the body grow so that it builds itself up in love. Now this I say and testify in the Lord, that you must no longer walk as the Gentiles do, in the futility of their minds. They are darkened in their understanding, alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, due to their hardness of heart. They have become callous and have given themselves up to sensuality, greed to practice every kind of impurity. But that is not the way you learned Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus.
Okay. We're going
to
finish up.
22, to put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires. 23, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God, in true righteousness and holiness.
Okay, that is a significant passage for our class. Paul mentions speaking the truth in love, growing up to maturity. That's really the aim, that's really the goal. So when we ask the question, what is the goal of biblical counseling? The goal of biblical counseling, and this is in the notes, is spiritual maturity that progressively puts on the new self and reflects Jesus Christ. Okay? In fact, this is the goal of the Christian life, right? The goal of biblical counseling is spiritual maturity that progressively puts on the new self and reflects Jesus Christ. Right? Paul says in this passage, he says, that is not the way you learn Christ, assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus. Okay? And then he goes on to talk about putting off the old self, your former manner of life, being renewed in the spirit of your minds, putting on the new self, verse 24, and living in the likeness of God. What does that look like? True righteousness and holiness. Okay? So biblical counseling, the goal is spiritual maturity that progressively, that means step by step, puts on the new self and reflects Jesus Christ. You want to look more and more like Christ until the day you die, right? Until he takes you. No matter what you are going through in life, no matter what anybody goes through in life, often with a lot of pain, often a lot of hardship, the aim is always going to be the same. Spiritual maturity and progressively putting on Christ and becoming more like him, right? So here in Ephesians 4, this passage reminds us what we're supposed to be pursuing, right? What we're supposed to be looking like. Notice some of the phrases that Paul uses. Mature manhood, fullness of Christ. He says that we have to speak the truth in love. Truth in love. We can't just tell people the truth. It has to be in love. We can't just try to be loving. We have to speak the truth. It is the truth in love. And he says these other phrases. He says, growing up into Christ. He uses the phrase, functioning properly toward love. Because the truth is in Jesus. He says, put off and put on. He talks about mind renewal. And he says, because you were created to image God. Namely, true righteousness and holiness. Right? That's how verse 24 ends. So this is the ultimate aim of biblical counseling, of your Christian walk, to pursue Ephesians 4, 11 to 24, and reflect Christ more and more in your life. Now, I want you to notice the aim here. Okay, I want you to notice the aim and how it is different from practically every other counseling philosophy. Okay? Notice the aim is to not make you emotionally happy. Do you understand that? The goal of biblical counseling is not to make you a worldly happy person. This is really, really important. Because if we get the aim wrong, and we'll look at that aim more next week, the glory of God, no matter what in your life. If we get the aim wrong, we're going to get everything that leads up to it wrong. Right? And so we have to get this. The aim is not to make you emotionally happy. It's not to make you physically healthy. That's not the goal. God willing, we can have those along the way. But that's not the main thing. Right? It's not what the world aims at. God's wisdom is not the wisdom of the world. And so biblical counseling, I think, gives you the truest big picture goal of your life and how you want to look, how you want others to look as well. Okay, so how do we get there? How do we get there? I want to talk about some of biblical counseling's core commitments, okay? Some of the foundational beliefs. The first one is that biblical counseling is grounded in Scripture. Grounded in Scripture. I think it was the beginning of 2024 where we did a preaching series. I think it was January 24. I don't think it was January 23. And I don't think it was January 25. I think it was January 24. Alex, maybe you can correct me. But we did a study to kick off the year on the Bible. And we went through the acronym SCAN, S-C-A-N. Does anybody remember what SCAN stands for? What, anybody even know what S stood for? Everything relates to the Bible. So, yeah, Jeremy.
Does it stand for salvation?
Close, but not quite, son. All right. Sufficiency of Scripture, clarity of Scripture, authority of Scripture, and the necessity of Scripture. Okay, so we went through SCAN. And when we talk about God's Word, we believe it is SCAN, right? That it is sufficient, clear, authoritative, and necessary. 2 Timothy 3:16, 17. All Scripture is breathed out by God and profitable for what? Teaching, reproof, correction, and training in righteousness. It's sufficient for that, right? It is breathed out by God, and therefore it's profitable for these things, that the man of God may be complete, equipped for every good work. Hebrews 4:12. For the word of God is living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and of spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intentions of the heart. That's really important. The author of Hebrews says that the Bible is so sharp that it can discern the thoughts and the intentions and motives of all of your hearts, right? And all of your thoughts and hearts is the result, leads to what you do and say and how you act. So the Bible's able to get to the deepest part that nothing else in the world can. Right? It is the wisdom of God, rightly interpreted and applied. Okay, so Hebrews 4:12, very significant. 2 Timothy 3:16, God's word is sufficient. So God has provided all that we need for life and godliness. So let me ask you this question. As Christians, is the Bible, and just ask yourself this question right now, is the Bible enough? Is the Bible enough to address every trial you face in life? I want you to think about that. Is the Bible enough for you to address every problem you face in life? I didn't ask, is the Bible able to heal you of every physical malady you have? I didn't say that. Okay. I said, is the Bible enough, another way to put this is, for no matter what you're going through, to help you please God, to show you how to please God? Is the Bible enough? Christians historically would say yes. And if you say yes, you more clearly understand what the sufficiency of Scripture means. Okay, it is enough, right? It's that significant. And we would want to say wholeheartedly, yes, it is. Amen to that. So as we look at biblical counseling, the first core commitment is that it's grounded in Scripture. Okay? When we think about our life, our godliness, no matter what we're going through, that we're able to please God no matter what we're going through. We can love Him no matter what, right? Scripture is able to show us to do that and empower us to do that. And so in this sense, when we rightly interpret the Bible and we rightly apply the Bible, we have the truest, most comprehensive wisdom that we can ever have for learning to, as we'll look next week, glorify God. And that's what God wants the most. The most that what God wants in your life is to glorify Him. He wants you to honor Him no matter what you're going through in life. Okay? That's the chief end, right? It's not to primarily make us physically healthy, not to make us emotionally happy. It is primarily to cause our love to grow for Him in this passing world and honor Him. And biblical counseling alone points us in that, toward that aim and that goal. Okay. Okay, and that's really important to understand what our goal is in life, what our aim is in life, where our heart's trajectory is in life. Okay, so biblical counseling, as we think about it, as our minds are renewed, as our ways are changed, as we have this wisdom of God addressing our troubles, addressing our problems, teaching us how to respond best, God's word stands above. God's word stands above. So biblical counseling begins with Scripture. It's grounded in Scripture. There's no other ultimate authority by which we should listen to. I didn't say there's no other authority we should listen to. I said there's no other ultimate authority we should listen to. There are other authorities in our lives, but there's no other ultimate. That's what we mean by sufficiency. We'll get to that in a few weeks. Right? So God's wisdom is unique. The world can offer nothing better. God knows our hearts best. Remember that. Okay? He made us. He knows our hearts best. And so no other counsel can comprehensively address sinners and sufferers. And that's what we are. Okay? At root, we are sinners and we are sufferers in this world. We are sinners because we sin against people, and we're sufferers because other people sin against us. And the world catastrophes hurt us and things plague us. So we are truly sufferers. And what I want to show and what I want to defend is that God has tremendous compassion on both sinners and sufferers. In fact, if you understand the etymology of the word compassion, you know, like the Bible speaks of God as compassionate, God is slow to anger, full of long-suffering, compassionate, faithful. The word compassion comes from the word compassion, which is with suffering. Pathos is suffering. And in the gospel, in Christ, God understands what it is to come into this world as Christ, in the second person of the Trinity, take on human flesh and suffer. So he is not distant from us. He is very near. So God has tremendous compassion. And in the Bible has compassion for sinners and sufferers like us, okay, in all of our circumstances. So it's the Bible alone that truly makes sense of our lives, right? Of our sin, of our suffering, and shows us how to respond to God in a life that's pleasing to him. And that's the key. No other system does this. No other system, okay? And we thank God for common graces like medicine and other helps, but common grace cannot renew our minds. Do you understand that? There's nothing in this world that can form true holiness and righteousness, Ephesians 4:24. The aim of what it is to look like God. That is the aim. And we have to get that. If we don't get that, if we go to the world and go, well, what's the aim? Well, I just want to be happy. Well, my marriage is falling apart. Well, you should divorce him. You know, it's like, what's the aim? And so we have to get this. We have to get this right. Okay? And there's a lot of obviously other examples that we could look at that of worldly wisdom. But the scriptures alone show us how to live a life that pleases God. So no other system does this. Thank God again for common grace. Thank God again for many disciplines of this world. There are many helps in this world for temporary alleviation of symptoms. Yes, temporary alleviation of our troubles, but nothing of what the scripture offers. A comprehensive understanding of how to help people think biblically and how to help people grow in Christ-likeness. You're not going to find it anywhere else. Right? So if you're a Christian, don't you think that's important? Don't you think, like, I've got to get this goal right so I can make my way there? If we don't get that, we're in trouble. Right? We're really in trouble. So we want to become more like Christ, right? Monumental. Again, you can go to the Cross Life website, and for those that are just coming in, and just go to the, you can just type crosslifecc.com/biblical-counseling. It'll take you right to the website. You'll see the notes for today. I apologized earlier that I didn't print it out for today, but if you can print it out in the coming weeks and bring it, that'd be great. So John 17:17, Jesus said what? Sanctify them, Father, in the truth. Your word is truth. How do we grow? By the word of truth, by the word of God. So counseling is grounded in scripture, right? It's sufficiency, clarity, authority, necessity. Second, biblical counseling is centered on Christ. I'm going to just kind of move through this, all right? It's centered on Christ. When we counsel ourselves and when we counsel other people and we try to help them with God's sufficient word in their troubles and their problems, we don't look at them and say, you're a problem, right? What we say is, you need a person, okay? Counseling systems have you sit down and go, you have a lot of problems, right? Biblical counseling says, here's the solution. Here's a person. Here's the one person who can work, change you, right? Biblical counseling is centered on Christ. The wisdom of Christ is ultimately, the wisdom of God is ultimately found in Christ, okay? And so when we counsel biblically, we come with to people. People come with troubles and difficulties. We present to them the one person who can change them, who can help them. Right? As Christians, we believe that Christ is real. We believe the Holy Spirit's real. It's not just some make believe thing that we gather and we sing for fun. We actually believe Christ is real, and he's the ultimate physician. Yes, and so we don't want temporary solutions for people's problems. We want a lasting person, a person to indwell them and help them and show them the way of the Lord, and that's Christ. And so Scripture presents us with a real and risen Savior. And I think as we bring our sin, as we bring our suffering, you know, those aren't necessarily the same thing. Our sin and our suffering, although they're very related in this world, to Christ, he shows us mercy. He shows us grace. He shows us healing. Right? He shows us what power and truth can do in our lives. And so ultimately, we want to point ourselves and other people to a Redeemer. We want to point people not to a program or a theory, we say, but here's a real person. Right? Are you trusting him? Are you believing in him? Are you abiding in his word? Okay? So a real, powerful, life-transforming person. And that's where Christ meets us, and he changes us from the inside out. Right? There are a lot of humanistic therapies. You've probably heard of, there's just a ton out there. Interpersonal therapies that work on communication, and probably most of you have probably heard of CBT, cognitive behavioral therapies, where it's primarily focused on thoughts and particularly kind of pushing away negative thoughts and trying to improve and regulate those kinds of thinking patterns. And there's a whole bunch of different humanistic therapies, psychodynamic therapies, holistic therapies that try to combine and blend all of them, put them together and custom fine-tune them for people, mindfulness. Ultimately, the reason why they're going to miss the mark is because the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. Right? That's where Scripture goes. Right? That's where Scripture speaks to. Scripture, if you look at the Old and New Testament, Proverbs 4:23 says that guard your heart. It is the wellspring of your life. It is the very, we've taught here that the heart is the command center. It's central command. It's the steering wheel of your life. Whatever your heart wants, loves, desires, that's where your life goes. Right? The Bible addresses the heart. Jesus says, whatever comes from the heart, the mouth speaks. You know, it's the heart. It's the inner man. It's the deepest place of where we live and dream and fantasize and want and crave and desire. That's where we live. That's the heart. And we act out of the heart. And the Bible speaks to that. And so the heart of the matter is the matter of the heart. We'll look at this in week 6, session number 6. Okay, and of course, the solution is Christ, is the truth of Christ, and leading people to Christ himself. And so biblical counseling is centered on Christ. Real quickly, number 3, biblical counseling relies on the Spirit, right? We're not make-believe here. We don't believe the Holy Spirit is just some force or some angel thing out there. We believe that the Holy Spirit is God himself, and he works in people's lives. Listen to 2 Corinthians 3:17, 18. Now the Lord is the Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. Verse 18. And we all, with unveiled face, beholding the glory of the Lord, are being transformed into the same image from one degree of glory to another. So sanctification, as you know, if you're married, you know that change is slow, right? For both spouses, let's just be fair, okay? It's sanctification is one degree. Can you see one degree of change in your life usually? No, right? We usually see after a whole year or 5 years, oh yeah, now I notice this change. We don't tend to see a change in one day. Yeah, you know, it's like we have to see kind of the big picture to see change. Sanctification is like that. It's very slow. It's one degree of glory to the next, okay? But it is change, and it is toward glory, and that's what God is doing. and he's doing that by his Spirit, right? The Lord is the Spirit, and he's the one who's transforming us into the image of God, one degree of glory to another. Okay, so biblical counseling says that only the Holy Spirit can bring about change in our lives. Okay, only the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit who illuminates our minds, who shows us how to understand the Scriptures, who empowers us to apply the Bible to our lives. So biblical counseling relies on Holy Spirit, relies on prayer in many ways. Okay, number four, biblical counseling aims at Christ-likeness. This will also be brief. Galatians 4:19, my little children, for whom, Paul says, for whom I am in the anguish of childbirth until Christ is formed in you. You hear what he says? He says to the Galatians, my little children, I'm in anguish of childbirth. It's that painful for me until Christ is formed in you. That's his goal. I want Christ formed in you. Do you look at other believers in this church and go, I want Christ formed in me and in them, right? I want them formed into Christ one degree of glory to the next. And is that the goal? That should be, right? To reflect Christ more and more. Paul says that is the goal. The goal is to have Christ formed in you. And he's crying over it. He's in pain over it. The pain of labor, he says. So biblical counseling is intentional and intensive discipleship, right? And the fruit of biblical counseling is spiritual mature people who increasingly reflect Christ. We've talked about that already. So we act like Christ relationally. That's the goal. We want to love God like Christ. We want to forgive others like Christ did. We want to become more whole and healthy people as Christ. Again, the aim is Christ-likeness, not worldly peace, not pleasures, not your personal happiness. Okay? So biblical counseling aims at Christ-likeness. If you're a Christian, this should be your aim. Okay? Number five, biblical counseling is best practiced in the local church. Okay, God is a triunity. Yes? God is triune. Does God dwell in perfect harmony and community for all time in eternity, past and present and future? True or false? God is in perfect loving relationship forever. Let's say that he did not create. Let's say there's no Genesis 1. Okay? Is God in perfect loving relationship? Yes or no? Yeah. That's where Islam fails. Right? God has to create in order to love. Okay? But in the doctrine of the Christian scriptures, In the triunity, Father, Son, and Spirit are eternally in a loving, perfect relationship. The Father loves the Son. The Son loves the Spirit. The Spirit loves the Father. There's a perfect relationship. Now, we want to image God. We were made in God's image, right? So God dwells in perfect community, three in one, one in three. The truly healthy and maturing believer understands this and says, I ought to be like that. I ought to live in good community. That's healthy. Okay, isolation is not healthy. So he or she should want to live in community, reflecting who? The triune Godhead for all time, for all eternity, right? So as Christians grow in Christ-likeness, biblical counseling says, grow in community with others, right? The ministry of the word, the sacraments of baptism, Lord's Supper, one anothering lifestyle, okay? Face-to-face knowing people deeper and deeper. Hopefully our very small group pods, community pods are helping foster this. Sharing burdens, praying together. The local church is the epicenter for spiritual maturity and growth. Right? This is where people really learn to love God and love others in the local church. Ephesians 4 reminds us of this. Right? Paul's writing to the Ephesian church. And he says, he says Christ has given, Ephesians 4:11, the church shepherds teachers to do what? To equip the saints for ministry, to build them up, so the church builds herself up in love. Okay. Ephesians 4, we read that, 4:11 to 24. So Ephesians 4 reminds us that Christ gives pastors, teachers to equip the saints, build her up in love. Are there other institutions, organizations outside the church? They can be useful. They can be parachurch ministries. But even they should aim to say, you should be plugged into a church. You should be plugged into a local church. So we tell all of our collegiates, I've told obviously my kids, right? Obviously, AACF, Grace on Campus, those are not church. Okay? Church is the local church that is led by elders, served by deacons, and meets on the Lord's Day for worship. That's church. Okay? those other things can be wonderful parachurch ministries, but they should never usurp the true community, God-ordained community of that God has ordained, to which Jesus said, there's only one institution of which the gates of hell will not defeat, right? What is it? It's the church, okay? The church. So we have to remember that. So biblical counseling is best practice in the local church where people rub each other and know each other and can speak the truth and love to one another, right? And help them grow, to come alongside and understand the priority of the local church. Number six, biblical counseling looks at the heart. The steering wheel of every human life is the heart. The heart is the command center of your life. This is in the notes, printed in the notes. If you understand this point, you have the truest and most accurate understanding of human behavior. Okay? All our thoughts, all our intentions, all of our feelings flow from what? The Bible says the heart. Do you think God knows what he means when he says this? Why do you think God says so much about the inner man? Why do you think God speaks so much about the heart? Because he understands what drives us, right? He understands where our thoughts are, our intentions, our feelings, our motives, our desires, where they come from. They come from our hearts. And this is why the Bible focuses so much on the heart of man. Okay, God fully understands and weighs who we are, what we do, and why we do it. And there's one place he looks. Inside, where no one else can see. Even you do not know the depths of your own heart. Do you know that? The Bible says that the heart is deceitful above all things. Who can understand it? Only God. That's why the scripture is full of verses that say, search my heart, O God. Because even when I search it, I deceive myself. Or I will come up with four sins that I've committed, not 40. And you and I know we've done the 40. Right? And so it's only the Spirit who can, and the Word that penetrates deep, the bone and marrow, the thoughts and intentions of the heart, deep into us and exposes it. And that's where the healing starts to happen, when we start to go, oh. And we realize, we go to Christ, and we find that help and that hope in his Word. So we have to understand that biblical counseling looks at what is most significant about the human person, the heart. Okay, oh, remember Hebrews 4:12, we just talked about that, sharper than any two-edged sword. So scripture teaches that human behavior is not mechanical, but grows out of a heart. All of you, myself, every single day we have desires, we have disappointments, which are based upon unmet expectations and all these assumptions that we have in our hearts, plus sin and selfishness, yes, okay? But our heart is so complex. It's so deep. And the scripture doesn't make light of it. It says, yeah, it's very deep. Who can understand it? But that's where we desire, where we want, where we think, where we choose, where we feel. The heart is either oriented away from Christ or away from Christ or toward Christ. That's the way the Bible puts it. So the biblically wise counselor will look at the outer man and go, okay. I can see a lot of behaviors going on that are not very healthy, right? But we also understand that, wow, where do those behaviors come from? Where does that speech come from? Out of the overflow of the heart, the mouth speaks, Jesus said. Right? Why such foul mouth? Why such hateful speech? Why out of the heart, the mouth speaks? And so that is the central command center for the human life. And Jesus understood this better than anyone when he rebuked the leaders of his day. Matthew 23, 25 and 26, he said, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, you hypocrites." Now watch this. "For you clean the outside of the cup and the plate, but inside they are full of greed and self-indulgence." Verse 26, "You blind Pharisees, first clean the inside of the cup and the plate, so then the outside may also be clean." Do you see what's going on? You see how Jesus understood that? He understood that everything centered on the inside. Okay? And if you're just showing a good face on the outside, you're a hypocrite. You're two-faced. Because the outside is clean. You're just, polishing it. But the inside is filthy. And so that's what he scorched the religious leaders of the day, because that's how they were. The inside is the heart, the control center for all that we think and do. As our Redeemer changes our inside, as he changes our hearts, then our outside becomes consistent and we become more like Christ, because our inside is being changed into the more and more righteousness and holiness of God, right? More healthy, not hypocrites. And so biblical counseling looks at the heart and addresses that and hits hard right here. Just two more, okay? Biblical counseling seeks to be comprehensively holistic. Biblical counseling has a spectrum, okay? There's a counseling, I just want to be fair, because there are good brothers and sisters, you know, like in almost any movement, there's going to be a spectrum in beliefs and practice, okay? So on the one end, you're going to have biblical counseling seminaries and groups that say, only the Bible, only repent, and no medication, and, okay, that's going to be one. On the other side, I don't know where the other side is. Okay, I'm not sure. Okay, my own leaning, and I think for us here at Cross Life, we want to push back away from that, and we want to come more in the towards a understanding. The human body is so complex, and we'll talk about this when we talk about the dual nature of we're body and soul. Okay, God has made us body and soul. We have two natures, and with those two natures, there is a lot of complexity. There's a lot of complexity to the heart of man, which is who can understand it. And there's a lot of complexity to how the soul interacts with the body and how the body interacts with the soul. Who can understand that ultimately? That's how does material interact with immaterial? I mean, if you just think about creation, how does God immaterially speak and create material world? Like, there are mysteries, yes. It's incredible, right? You are incredible beings. And you have this immaterial nature, a soul, and you have a material body that acts out. And, you know, because my soul wants to, you know, I don't know, wants this or wants that, and then I go and grab it, and it's fascinating. And it's obviously wired with the brain, and my brain's messed up, then it's going to affect the way that my soul tries to do things, and I can't, maybe I might be able to do it. Like, it's fascinating stuff. Okay, so as we think about being comprehensively holistic, biblical counseling wants to take into account the realities that we are relational creatures, we have a spiritual reality, we have a social network of people that we interact with, we are rational, we have an intellect, right? We are volitional, we can want and choose things, we are deeply emotional. We can cry, we can scream, we can yell, we can be happy. And of course, we also realize that we have bodies, right? We're physical. So biblical counseling seeks to see the whole person in their whole life context. And yet biblical counseling realizes that the body-soul relationship is very complex. And so we want to be sensitive to the physical factors that affect people's lives and what causes their suffering as well and their pain. But regardless of our physical state, regardless of how our body is doing, biblical counseling understands that there is a relationship between the body and the soul that is, you know, ongoing all the time. And when there are clearly physical issues, the wise biblical counselor would say, go see your doctor, right? Go get some labs done. You're not sleeping at all. You better get some sleep, because you can't function without sleep, right? We are body and soul, and we have to understand these realities. We have to take care of this, and we have to take care of this, right? And we can't just say we're all this or we're all this. The world says we're all this. There are some who say, oh, we are this, but this is all that matters. So repent and forget all medication. No, we have to understand that there is such, it's very complex. And I think fair and faithful biblical counseling wants to be, as best as possible, comprehensively holistic, and be understanding about that. When we see somebody suffering with a lot of pain, we say, we weep with them and say, I'm so sorry. You know, go get all the help you can get. Go get all the tests you can get. we want to pray for the best medical help you can get. Okay, so the body affects the soul affects the body, and we want to be very, very clear about that. When someone is wrestling with education issues, work life, finances, legal matters, we say, go get that help. Go to the lawyer, right? Go to that special educational person. We'll talk more about that when we talk about sufficiency and what that exactly means, because there's a lot of caricature and misunderstanding about that. Okay. Let's start to wrap up here. I'm going to skip a few things. Let me see. One quick note about this body-soul relationship, because we will talk a lot about more of that later in that session on the dual nature of the body. Specifically, you know, certain conditions about body, brain, heart, soul, Alzheimer's, traumatic brain injury. Okay, you're not going to sit there and go, you know what, you just need to repent. You know, you have Alzheimer's, you know, come on, you know, remember God. The Bible commands you to remember. Okay, that's not quite where we want to be. Okay, there's clearly, there's a brain, there's a disease, there's something going on. All right, we want to make sure we understand and be fair. Okay, so let's try to be as wise as possible, dig into the Bible, and speak to where the Bible speaks on these matters. Biblical counseling does not tell someone suffering with Crohn's disease, digestive disorders, a dislocated shoulder, repent and memorize Bible verses. That is not, if that's your understanding of biblical counseling, just walk away. Okay, that's not what we mean. Okay? I believe it's actually the most fair and comprehensive system because it realizes that God has truly made us body and soul. We'll get more into that. But right now we're just talking about core convictions. So comprehensively holistic, finally, and there are probably more convictions and core commitments, but finally, biblical counseling must be genuinely loving and caring. It must be genuinely loving and caring. We are sinners and sufferers. Okay. Biblical counseling says that Scripture is able to address both the sins that we commit and the sufferings we face, how to deal with the suffering, okay? And I think because our lives are so complex and we face so many temptations and situations every single day, biblical counseling understands that sin and suffering are a reality for all of us, okay? And it knows how to deal with our pains and our sins. And I think for those who are suffering evil, if you're suffering evil, or maybe you're suffering from the sins of other people, biblical counseling comes to you and says, there's a deep compassion for you. There's a deep compassion. We hurt with you. Okay? Biblical counseling offers God's encouragement, God's comfort, God's hope for the hurting. Just look at 2 Corinthians chapter 1, right? The God of all comfort who comforts us in our afflictions. Just read 2 Corinthians 1. You see the compassion of God. But biblical counseling also addresses sin, and it doesn't run from it. And it engages sinner and confronts sinner in caring ways. And it says, you know what? In this situation, your behavior, there needs to be repentance. You are not acting in a way that honors God or honors relationships. You're hurting yourself and other people. You need to repent, right? Biblical counseling will unashamedly confront that lovingly and caringly and say, you need to turn around. You're going in a bad direction. And the way I love you is to help you see this, right? And so it shows sinners a true path forward. And what it looks like to turn to Christ and become more like Christ. Okay, so biblical counseling cares for both the suffering and the sinning and offers true help and hope and offers very practical methods of change. All right, so this morning I've tried to lay the foundation for biblical counseling. Understanding first principles, they're so important, right? And so I think just laying these eight core commitments is laying the groundwork for what is about to come and what we're trying to build on. But let me close with rereading the last part of Ephesians 4 that we read, okay? Ephesians 4, starting at verse 20. Because this is what biblical counseling is really about. But that is not the way you learn Christ. Assuming that you have heard about him and were taught in him, as the truth is in Jesus. To put off your old self, which belongs to your former manner of life, and is corrupt through deceitful desires, heart, and to be renewed in the spirit of your minds, and to put on the new self, created after the likeness of God in true righteousness and holiness. Do you see that pattern? According to Paul, the way that we primarily practically grow as a Christian and sanctification, or progressively reflect Christ, is to put off the sins and the things that are of our former life, and to put on other things. It's not just say, oh, I just want to, you need to stop lying. It's you need to stop lying and you need to start speaking the truth. You see, we don't live in a vacuum. Our hearts are in such a way that it's not just about putting something away. It's got to be replaced with something else, right? That's why when we come to Christ, our old nature is pushed out, but a new nature comes in, right? The old is gone, the new has come, Paul says in 2 Corinthians. And so we are a new creation. So Christ indwells us. And what we do in the Christian life now is our minds are being renewed. We need to believe truth. We're trying to forsake falsehoods and worldly beliefs and lies and put on what is true. So our mind gets renewed, our hearts get renewed, so that we start living and speaking and acting a certain way. That's how Paul understands it. Put off this and put on this. It can't just be try to put this on and keep the lies, and it can't just be put off the lies and forget speaking truth. Or it can't just be, I'm going to stop stealing. No, you got to work hard too now. You can't just stop stealing. You have to work hard with your hands. It's got to be off and on. That's the way we grow. So we have to remember this. Next week, we will talk about the chief aim of biblical counseling. It's so important to understand this. God's glory, what it means for us in our sufferings, in our daily lives. You're not going to get this from any other system. The glory of God as the aim of your life. Okay, any questions? I want to try to leave sometime when we can. It's 9:28. Any questions to clarify anything I said? I know it was like a fire hydrant today, just kind of opening up a fire hydrant and opening it up to you. But is there anything you want to say? Ask for anything. Okay. Well, I'll try to leave time for that at the end of each session. As we close today, let me urge you to avail yourself of the church website. Use it to re-listen to sermons, our ACE classes, our TNT sessions. We have a lot of biblical resources there. And it really helps our church get on board with what the elders are teaching. Because there's so much stuff out there. We don't know what you're learning, what you're getting. And if you start believing stuff like that, and you come into the church and you're listening to us, and it makes it hard for us. So we want to make sure that we're unified and we're faithfully teaching. We're responsible for you as members. And so it helps us when you avail yourself of the resources we have here. We're trying to put everything up online, including our sermons. Dave Podley and Brother Robert Carrion and others are helping to formulate the website so that we can start to access sermons easier by speaker, by title, by theme, everything. So they're going over like 16 years of messages and teachings. So just appreciate that. And we'll let you know when that's up. With that said, we're going to go ahead and be dismissed. Let me pray for us as we go this morning. Father, thank you for your presence with us this morning. God, we pray that the time would be not only faithful but fruitful, that you would be teaching us much and helping us grow in what it is to speak the truth in love, to be compassionate people, to have wisdom and discernment on what to say, when to say it, how to say it. Lord, we need your help and your wisdom. And so humble us. And give us your spirit and your word, we pray. And help us now, Lord, to go into service and to worship you rightly in spirit and in truth. Thank you. We love you. In Jesus' name, amen.